Hey, good morning, everybody. Appreciate everybody being here this morning. Appreciate the song that went forth. Good morning to everybody online. We thank the Lord for you. You know what? It's kind of neat to understand. I don't know if you guys heard Dan and Gary this morning about us walking in the resurrection. We're walking in that resurrection, guys. Did you understand that there are quickenings that are going to go forth all the time? And that's good to have that. But understand that that's all leading you to the quickenings are leading you to the resurrection. It is all part of the resurrection. And I think that's very powerful for us to understand. We walk in it because that's what we're here for. The same way that Jesus came and did what he did in the world and then resurrected, had victory over death. So we do have to die, though, don't we? We have to die. You don't die. There's no resurrection. Resurrection is a coming forth from the dead back into life. So you have to die in order to be resurrected. That makes sense, doesn't it? And so one of the things that I was so thankful for was how it was very informal this morning. I like that. But having things explained in such a way that people can catch hold of it. Sometimes we assume people understand everything. And in some cases, they don't. I'm going to talk about some things today that people say, oh, yeah, we've heard this before. We know about this. Well, we'll see. We'll see how this works. I believe God wants us to be quickened in such a way that the Spirit brings to remembrance what it is that this word is speaking, what it says, what it means, so that it can be more solidified in our hearts. We may have heard things before, and some things we didn't put too much emphasis on, you know, about retaining or whatever. Maybe it was something we heard and it went by. But God always has a habit of bringing those things back around. I love what Gary says. He said, hey, I'm not going to finish my thoughts tonight, whatever, but one elder or some elder is going to go on and finish it. Somebody's going to speak about it, and God will continue it. I believe that's true. It always happens. It seems to always happen. It'll continue, you know. So we just ask the Lord to continue to bless us. So we appreciate God, Jesus, going through that resurrection first. Doing, being the example, all the things that had to happen until he was actually resurrected permanently. But he walked in resurrection with his disciples, as simple as that, continued to walk in that. He was always telling them about prophecy and about things that were going to happen and what his purpose was for coming. He was constantly telling them that. Sometimes they didn't agree with it. Oh, I came to die, you know, I'm going to fulfill prophecy, you know, I'm going to be, you know, betrayed. I'm going to this and all that. And they, you know, they didn't take it very much like, okay. Because after 3 years, you think about this, 3.5 years walking with somebody and you hear them say certain things and it hasn't happened in 3.5 years. What do you say to yourself? I don't know if that's, you know. And so you think about it. But then when it did happen, it was almost like they were shocked. You know, what? This is what's going to happen? This is what's going to, you know, and Peter even went to the point where he grabbed him and said, not so, Lord. You know, this is going to happen? No, 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 no. But he said, for this cause came I into the world, to die so there could be a resurrection. Very important. If he doesn't resurrect, we don't. That's a very powerful thing for you to think about. So we're going to talk about a few things today. You know them. I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, you know them, but I want to see if there is something else quickened in your heart, that you come to a place where you understand that these things that we've said before, this is a rehearsal. You know, the Bible does use the term rehearsal a couple of times in the scriptures. Rehearsing what? Rehearsing the things that Jesus said. Rehearsing the things that the Spirit led us into. Rehearsing the things that the Father had put in prophecy for us. the things that he told us was going to happen. So we rehearse those things. And what happens is that we come to a place where it becomes more solidified. I was telling somebody the other day, remember when Pastor Dave preached us and his message was settle it in your heart? That was a good message. Settle it in your heart. Establish this in your heart. Settle it in your heart that you want to walk after Jesus and do the things that he's asked us to do. Come on, let's get that established in your heart. And then be strengthened in that. Establish, strengthen, you know, the whole deal. Get it strengthened in your heart that that's what's going to happen, okay? So, very important. So, I'm going to ask you some questions today. And I want you just to think about them in your heart. We say that we know these things. So, I talked about Wednesday night about what was crawling in that flesh, right? Remember? Did that stay in your mind? You know, that this adversary is what? Is just, he's constantly doing his job. He's on his job, huh? And he's crawling in that flesh because God said he was going to do that. Now, it serves a double purpose, okay? It serves a double purpose. The double purpose is that, number one, it's a curse to him, but what does it do for us? If he's crawling in our flesh and we realize it, we have to be on guard, don't we? We have to be on guard for the things that he's going to do because we know he's there, okay? And so you say, well, why would God do that? Well, don't we have to overcome evil with good? Haven't we learned good? Haven't we learned the things of God? And that we have to overcome evil with good. Isn't that the war? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't this the trying of our faith and whatever? If we didn't have that, what would happen? You see where we go with this? It's very important. Even, you have to realize that even Satan is serving that purpose. That devil is serving that purpose in God. There's got to be things that we're going to overcome. So, I'm going to ask you, I want you to think about it. So those things crawling. That thing crawling there. We know it's the devil. What did we say in the flesh? The devil is in that flesh, right? Even in Jesus's flesh, but he was never in his mind, was he? What did Jesus always have? A celestial mind. What is it that he wants us to do? Have a celestial mind. He was the example of that. He wants your mind to be in heaven, where your thoughts are. This is your world. This is your flesh. You know, I want you to stop and think for a second. What is the flesh? If you had to define it, what would you say? It's not this. He says the motion of sins. What else? What would you say if you had to define what flesh is? Okay, John says soul. What else? What do you think? Thoughts of the world. Yeah. So, carnal mind. Death, mind, that's the mind is where your thoughts are, right? Right? So this is very important. So you think about this. This here, like Gary calls it the avatar, doesn't he? This is just soft substance that surrounds bones. This is not what God's talking about when he talks about the flesh, okay? But this is what man talks about when he says flesh. He says this, doesn't he? But this is going to decay and go back to the dust, isn't it? So what God is trying to show us is that the flesh is an inward man, is it not? Let's talk about that for a second. So the flesh is an inward man. So it calls it the old man in Ephesians, doesn't it? With all of his, you know, deceitful lusts and all those other things. I think it's Ephesians 4. I think we talked about it last week. So that's that old man, right? And then there's another thing, though, that you need to look at. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Remember when it talks about the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit and that he can't spiritually do? He said he can't discern them because they're spiritually discerned and he's a natural man. What we do, we get that mixed up by saying natural. That means a natural man, a man that we see every day here. That's not what it means. If you go back and you look up, click on that natural man, you know what it says? Sensuous and given to passions and lusts. Oh, wait a minute. Sensuous? Well, what else did it say about being sensuous? Isn't in the book of James, it says, what is it about that? What does he say? Yeah, he said the wisdom that's of this world, is sensuous, earthly, and devilish. Doesn't it say that? So does that come back to what I told you Wednesday night? The devil's in that flesh. It's earthly, it's sensual, but that natural man, start substituting sensual for that natural man in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says he can't discern the things of the Spirit because he's a natural man. Well, the natural thing in him is to oppose God. That's what it is. If it's with the passions and lusts that you have within you, that inner man, that other man that's inside of you, he opposes God with that. It's sensuous. But what did God say about the wisdom that descends from above? Ah, now that's different, huh? So if we had to define wisdom, what would we say? We used to do this all the time. What is wisdom? If you had to say what wisdom is, anybody remember? What'd you say, Ernest? It is the principal thing. That's one of the things it says it is. But it says wisdom is the interpretation of a thing. You remember that? Wisdom is the interpretation of a thing. You say, well, wait a minute, you're interpreting what? Well, your dreams and visions, yeah, that's one thing. The word of God, that's something else. But isn't that showing you that there's a good interpretation concerning the things of God? We're talking about the wisdom of God, right? But isn't there a worldly wisdom? It just said it was earthly, sensual, and devilish, right? So does it its own interpretation? Ah, so the flesh starts to do its own interpretation of things, doesn't it? And it's usually, more than likely, wrong. It's the false interpreter. You see how all of this is working together? So the false interpreter is what leads you in worldly wisdom. Catch where I'm going. Look what I put up there. I said the flesh is weak. Our flesh and what's in it is what we have to fight against every day. This resurrection they talked about. If you don't get distracted and pulled off by that devil that's in it, you can walk right into the resurrection, right? But what can happen? Can you be pulled off? Can you go back to sleep? Can things start to happen? Can you be distracted? Yeah. What's doing all of that? It's that same thing that's in the flesh that I talked to you about Wednesday night. It's in the flesh. So you have to be on constant guard. You have to be aware of what's going on in you. So we go back to it again. So now we understand wisdom is the interpretation of a thing. Okay? And whether the interpretation is the interpretation that God gives as opposed to the interpretation that your flesh will give you, that man gives. So you have to be very careful about that. So what's understanding? Do you remember what understanding is? What? To depart from evil. That's one part of it. Understanding is what? The knowledge of the holy. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know, and by that knowledge, you will depart from evil. That's what understanding is to God. What is understanding to man? Knowledge, just plain knowledge. I know things. I know a lot of things. You know, I'm educated. Or maybe if I'm not educated, I just know a lot of things. I just have it within myself. It may be my knowledge. It may be my intellect, what I know, what I don't know, how I can accomplish things in this world. And that's the thing that throws us off. What we can accomplish in this world has nothing to do with the knowledge and understanding of God. What we can accomplish, there's a lot people accomplish here. People start businesses, they go to school and get degrees, and I mean, all kinds of stuff happens. They understand how to put something together and then take it apart, put it together again. Really good, huh, to be able to do that. But that's the things that work here. God wants us to understand that the things that he asks us to do are spiritual things. You said something about the carnal mind a little while ago. The carnal mind is actually death to us, right? It's enmity between us and God. It's an abiding hatred between us and God. The carnal mind hates God. You may not think so, but it does. It may not overtly say that it hates, but in its actions, it will always do the opposite of God. It'll do the opposite of God. It'll do the opposite of God. It may not overtly say, oh, I hate God. I hate him. I hate him. No, it may not even say that. It may accuse God, but it may not even say that. But what it's constantly doing is opposing you with your thoughts of God. One place Paul says, I want to help those that oppose themselves. Doesn't it say that? You know how you oppose yourself? By remaining with those thoughts. Those thoughts come to you, remain with you, join yourself to them. We preached a message a week or two ago about being perfectly joined together, right? Well, do you know you can be joined together with something wrong? Happens all the time, right? You can join yourself to something wrong and then it'll be to your detriment, to your hurt. God told Israel one time, he said, if you don't follow the things that I've asked you to do, I've sent my prophets to you, I've talked to you, whatever. But if you don't do it, he said, I'll bless you if you do it. I'll always be your God. But if you don't do it, you're going to suffer your own hurt. You bring hurt to yourself. Most of us say, that's crazy. I wouldn't want to hurt myself. But we do. If we take the wrong thought, okay? So, understanding is, what is it now? What is understanding? The knowledge of the holy is understanding. To depart from evil is understanding, right? Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is also what? The interpretation of a thing. Let's remember these things because they're very important. So, even though I was talking about that thing Wednesday night where that devil is in that flesh, do you ever wonder why it says what it says about the flesh? There's a couple of places it's written, and I want you to, we're not going to be before you long today. I want you to see this. Listen to this. This is Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Now, I want to explain something there. Did God ever say he was going to take temptation away? He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Isn't that what he said? In fact, he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's hard for some people. Can you count it as joy when you fall into temptation? Let's see if we can get there. Those that haven't made it, let's see if you can get there where you can count it all joy when you fall in the temptation. But this says, it's very important, watch and pray. So what about the watch? What have we learned about the watch? Habakkuk tells us a lot about it, huh? I'll stand on my watch and see what the Lord will say unto me and what I will say when I am reproved. So the watch is listening and paying attention to the voice of the Lord, to the Spirit of the Lord. And if he reproves you, accept it and say, thank you, God, for reproving me. And I'll see what he says to me when he reproves me. Because he always does it in love, believe it or not. We don't receive it always in love. Sometimes we get offended at it and we think God's not doing it in love. But that's our thought. Our perception, that's not what God is doing. If he reproves you, he loves you. He said it's the way of life. So if he reproves you, he loves you. We got to get that in our mind. So it says, watch and pray, very important, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Wait a minute. So how do we know the flesh is weak? Because that devil's in it. What we talked about Wednesday night, right? That carnal mind, that devil is in that flesh, isn't he? So is that what makes him weak? Yes, because he's always opposing God. He's always having a separation between itself and God. That will make you weaker. Us joining ourselves to God makes us stronger. So the flesh is weak. Now, it says it in another way in Mark. Listen to how it puts it here. Watch ye and pray. So it's saying the same thing as the other one, right? Lest ye enter into temptation. Now, here's the one I like. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Spirit's always ready to receive the things of God, right? So it's ready. The spirit is always ready. It's willing. I'm talking about the spirit that wants to serve God is always willing. But he said, but the flesh is weak. But I have to ask, is your spirit always ready? Are you ready? Are you ready through your spirit to receive the things God has for you? Or is the flesh, even though it's weak, allowing you to be pulled away from the thing that God is trying to do for you? And you say, well, how can a weak thing do that? Still has the devil in it. He's weaker than God, isn't he? But is he always on his job? Yeah. So do we fall into weaknesses sometimes? So we may fall into a weakness where we yield to the other weakness, and then both of us go weak together. Isn't that true? That thing is deceptive. It may be weak because it opposes God, because it's in flesh, but it constantly does what it does. You tell me when Satan takes a vacation. You think he does? He never takes a vacation, guys. Never. And neither does God. Catch it. But he never takes a vacation. Oh, Satan let up on me this week. No, he didn't. He was just more deceptive than you thought he did. Catch what I'm saying. We always look outwardly. So we say, oh, this went bad. That went bad. Oh, this week, this one didn't go bad. Then, oh, so I must have done pretty good. Satan must not have been. No, he was working on your mind the whole time, especially with that thought, thinking, well, he gave me a break. Hey, guys, learn real quick. He doesn't give you a break. He doesn't. Now, any peace that you do seem to get, what did we talk about Wednesday night? The peace that passeth all understanding. Remember the kingdom. In that kingdom, there's peace. Remember the things that we talked about? The peace in there? The peace in that kingdom comes from God. Peace I give you, peace I leave with you. And doesn't he say that? I am the Prince of Peace. Any peace you do have, it has to be through the Spirit of God. It's not going to be because Satan let up on you. You understand what I'm saying? Be very aware of that. It's because you've learned more about God. You've got more understanding. Remember, what did I ask you? What wisdom was and understanding. You get more of that, does more peace come in your kingdom? Yes, it does. That's something very important. So the flesh is weak. Remember that. It is weak. It's not as strong as the Spirit of God. But that weak thing can overcome us sometimes. But I want you to keep thinking about what it is. The flesh is weak. And what did he crucify on that cross with him? Didn't he crucify the old man? Romans 6:6? He crucified the old man. On that cross, he crucified him, didn't he? So we said, well, how come I still have so much trouble? This is what you join yourself to in thought. He's actually been defeated already. He's actually, by prophecy, done away with. But does that mean that he's still not? You still haven't have to deal with the things that are in your flesh. You still have to deal with them, don't you? You have to get to the point where you can look at it, just like it says, is it the 14th chapter of Isaiah? And you look at it and you say, is this the man that caused me, that brought kingdoms down and did all this? It's going to come a time where your strength is going to be such that you will look at it and say, how did I ever fall to that? How did I ever do it? But then you're going to have to realize that you weren't completely joined to God, and that's why you fell. That's why you fell to something. So if we're completely joined to God, guess what starts to happen? God blesses us. So the natural man is sensuous, isn't he? Earthly, devilish, that natural man. But the spiritual man can do all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, that's only if you're the spiritual man. Are you the Son of God? Have you been strengthened? Are we spiritual men and women in God now? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Or are we still in the flesh, which is weak? Because you can be in that. You can let that lead you. You can let that guide you. And you will be weak. Now, there's a different type of weakness. Paul talks about it. Remember when the messenger of Satan giving him, buffet him in the flesh? And he kept saying, well, God, I'm not my full self when this thing is bothering me. And I want to be able to go on and work and do the things for you. And God had to let him in on a little secret. He said, Paul, you were never doing anything on your own anyway. It was always me. But I'll give you this messenger of Satan to buffet you so that all these revelations and stuff you have, it'll keep you humble, keep you abased, and then you will realize it was always me. And he got to the point where he said, you know what? I did more than they all, but not I, but the grace. He came to the point, and what did God tell him about that weakness? He said, in my grace, the grace in that weakness, right? Is it sufficient? Is the grace sufficient to overcome that weakness? What do you think it does with us if we're weak? The grace is sufficient. Grace is the work that God does. We overcome by that grace. And he finally came to the realization of that. He's saying, yeah, God didn't remove that thing from me, but look how much was accomplished in spite of that. That kept me in a condition so that God could use me. He came to the realization of that, didn't he? Isn't that powerful? Do you think there are things that God is doing for you that's going to help you do the same thing? And you say, wait a minute, God, to me, in my mind, that's evil. Really? Really? Think about it. What did he say about that? Overcome evil with good. He wants you to practice that so that when it does come, you overcome it with the good. Good is God. And then what starts to happen? You realize that this thing doesn't have as much power as you thought it had. And then you start looking at these things for what they are. They are weaker things. These are servants of God. They have to do what God tells them to do. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. They have to do what you tell them to do if you believe God. Think about what I just said. They have to do what you tell them to do if you serve God. That's how that works. So it's a powerful thing. I want to tell you about a man right quick. I may even read part of it. In the book of Daniel. I think it's Daniel chapter 4. Now listen to this. So you know the story. It's King Nebuchadnezzar. And he has this dream. And he needs an interpretation. And they call for Daniel. Remember, Daniel can interpret the dream. And King Nebuchadnezzar is a mighty king, man. He's very mighty. But he has this thing and it troubles him. And so they say, well, send for Belteshazzar. That's what they named Daniel. Send for him. He comes, listen to the king's thing there that he said, tells him. And it astonishes him. I don't know if you've ever read that part. It astonishes Daniel what this king dreamed. And the king saw that he was, you know, his face changed, everything. And he said, hey, Daniel, he says, if you can't interpret, that's okay. That's okay, because he really liked Daniel. He said, that's okay, don't worry about it. We can leave it just the way it is. Daniel said, no, that's not why I'm doing that, king. He said, I just found out that these things that you dreamed are your enemies that are coming against you. And what they do to you is going to cause you much harm. I'm paraphrasing. He said, that's what's astonishing me. And God is showing me this. So later on down the line, he warns him. He said, if you listen to this, if these things that come to your mind and you become uplifted and whatever, he said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. And he tells him step by step what's going to happen. He said, I know you're a great king, but you're not going to look like a great king for a good while. God is going to show you who he is. I said, wow. So the king said, Daniel, all right. I know you tell good things. And so here's the thing that happened. You know, time passes sometimes and we forget things. God gave him all this information through Daniel, the prophet. But remember, we're dealing with a king that conquered most of the known world. He's talking about all the different things that he's done, the power that he's manifested, the things he built and whatever. This even people still talk about what Nebuchadnezzar did. One of the seven wonders of the world was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. He was the one that did that. All this stuff. So he's thinking within himself. It took about a year. And he starts thinking within himself how great he is. We have a problem sometimes after time goes by. We think that certain things are not going to affect us. And God has already told us they will. Listen to this, verse 28 of chapter 4 of Daniel. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. So he's in his palace. Now, here's one of the things. It's one of the greatest palaces that's ever been built. Like I said, he reigned for 50-something years, 52 years. Guy conquered most of the known world. He built himself a palace. People came to see his palace, just to see what it looked like. from the outside, huge. So he's walking in his palace, looking at all the things that he's done. That's what he's doing. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Those are the words that comes out of his mouth. Okay. Remember what Daniel warned him a year before. He said, don't get, remember, and God answered the dream for him and all that. He was very happy. He said, let's praise the God of Daniel. All of that. See, but 12 months later, that's all. Passé. That's a different spot now. See? Wow. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Now, we've seen that even in this realm, haven't we? Wow. A man that we all knew was told that, you know, this is departed from you. You are no longer the head of the organization. You're no longer the Lord has departed from you. And this has been departed from you. So we see it even in this day, haven't we? But I'm going to go back to Nebuchadnezzar. To thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Now we're talking about King Nebuchadnezzar that conquered most of the known world, and look what God's doing to him. Look what he's doing to him. And this must have been a great shock to the people that had to serve him. Because you know what happens? They serve him until he goes through all of this. He's still the king, even if he's crazy. They still got to do what he says to do. This is amazing, huh? So they have to take care of him all this time. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Now look at the words that came out of his mouth. After he went through all of this, after he got passed over seven times, look what happened to him. It took that to get him to humble himself. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. God gave him some understanding, huh? He knew there was an army in heaven and that God's the one that directs everything. He got some understanding, didn't he? Whew. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He's right. Nobody's going to ask God, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? No. God said, I do what I do. You follow. But I do what I do. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. Why do you think God did that for him? My reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Did God want him to be the king that he was? Yes. Great lesson learned through this king, wasn't it? Are the children of Israel under him in bondage? Yes, they are. You see why God did what he did? And he returned it back? He had to make great kings. What did I preach to you not too long ago? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ. Who's it belong to? God said, I just wanted to show you who owns all this. who gave you what you have. I just wanted to show you. This is the kingdom that really belongs to my son. All kingdoms belong to my son. Whew. Very powerful, huh? And majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Wow. See what that flesh can do, huh? Doesn't mean you won't attain to great things here. You can. But what's going to happen is you got to remember you got a devil in that flesh all the time. If your mind does not take on the mind of the what? Heavenly, right? Celestial. If you don't take that on, you are liable. I don't care what position you're in. God can show you. I can humble you. You can be abased. You think nothing can touch me now? God said, I'm going to show you I can touch you. You see how this works? It's very important. So should we remain humble? Should we understand what's in our flesh? Should we understand that our flesh is weak? And that the spirit is the thing that has all power. Didn't he say that? The power of the spirit. Power of the spirit. He went out into that wilderness in the power of the spirit. Holy Ghost came in the power of the spirit. God's showing us that we, as his people, have the power that he gave his son. Because we become sons. We become his people. And God says, you don't have to worry about that being weak anymore because you're no longer in the flesh. What does God say? We're not going to remain in the flesh. We become what? Spirit with God and not flesh. Doesn't God's spirit speak to our spirit? Isn't that how? If we have the spirit of God in us, the Lord said unto my Lord. Isn't that true? Isn't that what starts to happen? We have a relationship with the king. And then he turns around and makes us kings and priests. Doesn't it say that in Revelation 1? So now we become kings. Oh. I remember, Dave, last thing here. I remember David told God, he said, I want to build a house for you. And God said, hey, let me let you know a little secret. There's no house that can contain me. But I like the thought that's in your mind. He said, I'm not going to let you build it. I'll let your son build it. Okay? Solomon built it. But he said, but I'm going to tell you something I'm going to do for you, David. He said, do for me. I want to build a house for you. He said, I'm going to build you a house. Go back and read it. He said, I'm going to build you one. I said, wait a minute. Because you were a man after my own heart. Yeah, you went off different time, but you always came back to me. You always believed me, and you knew that I loved you. Yay, Lord. After that mess up I had, I knew you loved me. That was the key, huh? I said, and then I started living my life. He wrote most of his best stuff is after he'd gone through some of those trials. And he said, I know God can deliver. I know he can. And then God put him into the crucifixion of Jesus. You go read it. I think it's the 21st, 22nd chapter of Psalms. He experienced the things that Jesus experiences on the cross. So what did God say about Jesus' kingdom? I'm going to set you on the throne of David. Didn't he say that? Ah. And do you see the people that come to Jesus when he's walking around? They say, Son of David, have mercy on me. Don't they say that to him? Thou son of David. They understood enough that this was the kingdom that had been given to them, taken from the time of David, a throne where they were in power and they had it all, Israel, right? Now it's coming back to this man. He's on the throne of David, and he's going to do a lot better than David did. This is the one that's going to open up the kingdom for all of us, and we'll sit on our thrones. We'll be kings and priests. Wow. But he marked it by being on the throne of David, didn't he? What a powerful testimony. David said, the Lord that created heaven and earth is going to sit on my throne and bless me for eternity. Isn't that cool? Is he going to do it for us? He is doing it for us right now. Is he bringing us to the resurrection? Right now. Are things being resurrected in us that need to be resurrected right now? Is God going to take us to the final resurrection where we're sitting in heaven with him? Yes. So this is a powerful thing. Look who you are. Stop and think of who you are. Sometimes we forget. Think about who you are.